Prague's Wenceslas Square has been a focal point of protest at various moments in Czech history, one recent example being 1989's Velvet Revolution. At that time, the statue of St. Wenceslas in front of me here was covered in often homemade signs and posters calling for change. Indeed, 20 years ago, Prague, like much of the country, was plastered with posters bearing slogans like free elections, teacher, you don't have to lie to us anymore, and Havel to the castle.
It was just a wave of creation of people's art. It was just amazing, the flood from very simple things to very sophisticated poetry.
Says Jan Bubaník, who was a student leader during the revolution. Filip Blažek was 15 in 1989. Today a graphic designer, he's the man behind a newly released and very nicely produced book entitled Posters of the Velvet Revolution.
Prague was absolutely over-postered at the time. You can see posters outside of buildings, inside of buildings, on windows, on public transport. But the same posters were repeated, so you can see this. You could see the same poster 100 times during the day.
At the launch last week of Posters of the Velvet Revolution, folk singer Jaroslav Hutka led a sing-along to his song Namješť, which became something of an understated anthem of that momentous period. I asked Hutka about his memories of the era's often improvised street art.
My memories are mostly of surprise that such things could appear so quickly. It actually reminded me of 1968 and the things that people can produce overnight, like these posters, the humor in shop windows. It was kind of spontaneous, pleasant.
Many of the first self-produced posters were made by students. Jan Bubaník again.
Some of my colleagues were making very original posters. We even have created, after we have taken over the medical school and have an occupational strike, we had a full department which was only focused on making posters.
Filip Blažek began collecting the posters featured in his new book during the actual Velvet Revolution itself. That was possible because, remarkably, he was involved in the making of them. Thanks to his then unusual computer skills, the then secondary school student spent his evenings helping out at the Manes Gallery, a centre of revolutionary activity in those days. We spoke at the graphic design office Blažek now runs in Prague.
In the beginning, absolute vast majority of the posters were handmade. And in the exhibition hall, there was a center where students designed or draw the posters on ordinary packaging posters, packaging paper. But a few days after the revolution, I think the first poster was printed on November 21st, so just 5 days after the main demonstration, or the first demonstration. And then slowly more and more real printed posters were distributed and printed and distributed from this place.
Especially during the period when the very first printed posters were produced, their makers were operating in a kind of legal grey area.
I call it semi-legal because it was on a balance. Some of the posters were printed by friends in the school, some of them were printed in official printers but during night. The usual procedure was to take a few bottles of alcohol, give it to guards, and then freely enter the print shop and print from few hundred copies until the largest amount of copies was 2 million, I guess. It was the Havel to the Castle poster.
Who were the designers of these posters?
The Manes Exhibition Hall was the headquarter of the designers or artists organization. So they somehow automatically went there and started to work with the organizers of the protests, because most of them were designers, painters, sculptors, etc. So it was natural for them to join. And also, my father joined a group of people who were behind the slogans behind the themes of the posters. So they created some important topics and asked their friends, designers, artists to pick the topic they like and create poster.
From your point of view, what posters were particularly powerful?
I think the most powerful posters were posters with strong message. The end of single party rule is one of the strongest poster in the collection, and you can see this poster among on many photographs from the time. Also, Havel to the Castle is one of the most popular, most reproduced, and also most photographed poster because of the strong message.
You mentioned the Havel to the Castle poster. How much did that poster and the Havel for President poster actually help him become president?
I think a lot. I had an interesting discussion with designers of this poster, and they explained to me that Havel was an unknown person for a lot of people, mostly outside of Prague or outside of big cities. They knew his name, but they didn't know his face. And it was very crucial for the Civic Forum organization to introduce his face to the general public, because he looked good on the poster. I was told he was a handsome person on that particular poster, the black and white photo by Miloš Fikes. People started to like him or even adore him, so I think it was very important part of the election campaign for him.
Generally speaking, how would you view the posters today in terms of their quality, in terms of the design quality?
Some of the posters are absolutely excellent, some of them are average as usual, but I think what is most important for me that designers did a great job, because they expressed ideas they were not prepared to. They expressed ideas of freedom, ideas of humanity, ideas of free elections, and this was not the school prepared them to. So they expressed wonderful sense for expression, important ideas, and regardless the visual quality of the poster, they did a great job, because the posters were the first week after revolution one of the most important means of communication. Radio was censored, television was censored, newspaper were censored, and posters were the only authentic communication of Civic Forum.
When did they start disappearing, the posters?
I think in January 1990, because Havel was elected president and everyone knew the revolution is over and we have to continue our lives, we have to go back to the work, we have to live ordinary lives.
Graphic designer Filip Blažek ends today.